Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 Keogh Way in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. Today, I'm at Urbandale High School in the office of Ted Brimeyer. He's going into his 10th year as director of choirs at Urbandale High School and his 13th year of teaching. He directs the Varsity Show Choir Studio, Concert Choir, and Urbandale Singers. Show Choir routinely wins competitions in a myriad of categories. And last spring, the Urbandale Singers received an exceptional honor, an invitation to the National American Choral Directors Conference in Kansas City. That's a pinnacle achievement. They shared the stage with choirs from Taiwan, Slovenia, Canada, and many, many more countries, as well as other places here in the U.S. They were extremely well received. They performed a world premiere of Des Moines composer Elaine Hagenberg's piece, and they performed a piece I'm going to be visiting with Ted about called Atsalums. It's Latvian by Jakobs Jančevskis, and it's a story about human trafficking based on the 90s mass exodus of Latvians, and sort of a relevant piece for us today. But I want to begin with the fact that we're in a very quiet place right now. It's a couple of weeks, we're recording this, a couple of weeks ahead of school starting, but we're doing this in honor of school starting, and we'll air it about that time. What will this place be like in another couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's funny you take in the fact that it's really silent because it's never like this here. And yeah, I guess I had never thought of that before. I'm infrequently during the summer. I'm organizing, trying to file all the things that didn't, you know, get done over the course of the school year. And there will be, over the course of every school day, there will be 350 teenage singers through this room, walking right past my office, singing, squealing, laughing, shouting. This is the calm before the storm, for sure.
Now, this has always struck me that high schools can be their own little insular communities or something else. How would you describe the sense of community that you have amongst these choirs and their participants?
Community is really the foundation of what we do. And as I have more experience in the music classroom with each passing year, I'm learning that that togetherness and that sense of community and connection to one another is really why people want to be in a choir. People are in choir, sure, to make music, but a lot of times there's a social component to that. And really, when we boil that down, it's about that innate human need to be connected together. And through singing together, there's maybe no more organic way than achieving that.
Well, aside from the actual music itself that you work with them on, as the director and probably someone I'm sure that many look up to, I know that for a fact based on interactions I've had with neighbors in the Urbandale community and what they have to say about you, and we'll get to that in a moment. What do you do to kind of prompt and facilitate that sense of community outside just the music itself?
That's a great question. We just try, and while singing is at the core of what we do in every class period, it's also and singing at a very high level, it's not losing sight of the fact that we're here to be a family, we're here to be together, and that the time we have together is precious. So we do talk a lot about maximizing every moment of our class together. And in my planning for rehearsals, in my teaching partner's planning for rehearsals, a large component of that is building connections between each other, spending time on team building activities, taking time and breaks from the music to discuss and reflect on what the music and what the texts we are singing, how they make us feel and how we relate to them. So those would be just a few examples. And a choir that is connected to one another, and a choir that, it's not like everybody in the group is best friends. Occasionally we will have that, a situation like that that's very special. But a choir that's connected to each other and cares about each other is going to sing better. No question about it.
Well, then, based on what I heard in the performance last spring, this was pretty darn connected choir.
Yes.
Because that was really one of the most remarkable things I've ever heard. You talked about singing at a high level. And I was in probably the second or third row with an Urbandale High School student at my mm-hmm. side when I heard you perform Atzilums, if I pronounce that
yeah,
correctly.
Yeah, you nailed it.
And I was blown away. The piece gave me goosebumps. And just for the audience that's listening here, he just showed me the score to that piece. And if you saw the score, it would also boggle your mind. The students are really there involved telling a very powerful story mm-hmm. in Latvian, but it translates mm-hmm. without the actual language in English. It translates this experience about human trafficking and this mass exodus of players. So I'm guessing you had to do some work with these students.
Yeah.
On this tough issue.
Yes, in terms of the, you're asking in terms of the subject matter?
Yes.
Yes. You know, we have a club here at the high school. I believe it's called Hope in Action. And one of their advocacy issues is human trafficking. And so it's a very real, visible issue that members of our student population are working to bring awareness to within our student body. And so that, when we, my teaching partner, John Edgton, found the piece, and we got a copy of the score and the translation, and interpreted that English translation to be this story, and we did perform it in Latvian, which thanks to YouTube for helping us learn how to pronounce that language, because I do not speak Latvian, nor have I studied Latvian diction. But we presented the topic and the subject matter of this tune to the students, I think the piece by itself, even without knowing what it is about, is highly compelling.
That's the word I was looking for when I struggled
yeah,
earlier. Compelling.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And it knowing the backstory behind it, to me, like, I don't know if I can quantify it, but it seems to double or triple or quintuple its compellingness. And what we did is, especially because it's a topic and that could be quite sensitive to individuals of the choir it's possible that somebody has been a victim or maybe knows someone who has been a victim. We presented this to the choir and it was essentially a secret ballot situation and said, every one of you 60 singers needs to be on board with this project. And if there's one person who doesn't feel comfortable or doesn't want to go there, then we'll find a different route. And so, you know, it's all or nothing. There's no, you know, 99% isn't enough.
100% for this kind of community.
No question about it.
Well, let's take a moment to listen to an excerpt from that piece. And for those of you who'd like to hear the entirety, we have included it as an episode, a preview to this.
Thank you.
with that amazing segment, and again, go back to the preview for this episode and you can hear the piece in its entirety. What made you think these students could actually pull this off? They sure did, but I would have anticipated this to be an extremely difficult piece for a highly professional choir. And that's the honest God truth. That's how I felt when I heard it. I thought, boy, that was ridiculous. How did they do that? How'd you know?
This is going to come off as perhaps cliche, or I'm trying to think of the word. Stereotypical isn't right, but I honestly believe now, going into my 13th year teaching, my 10th year here at Urbandale, there really is no limit to what these students can do. They continue to surprise me year after year after year. And I'm finding that the doubt or the uncertainty comes from me, the old person, and not from them. I mean, they thought out, well-delivered instruction and guidance, as well as motivation that comes from them, they really can do anything.
Now, this anything that they're doing, these very powerful pieces that they're doing, and also just pure great entertainment with many of the other choirs as well, what is the impact on the larger community? We've talked a little bit about them and what they might be starting to get out of this community that they're a part of, but when we look at Urbandale or beyond.
I think we view our role in the greater community both as both our town, well, first with our high school very locally, then our town, then beyond, by performing at a high level and by being connected together, I think we become a point of pride for the rest of our community. People see what we do. They recognize the fact that it's maybe uncommon or special, and that's something they want to be a part of in turn, which helps us with our recruiting and building the program, but also something they want to support. And we view not only being a point of pride of our for our community as being important, but we also view giving back to the community with our gifts and our talents and abilities as important. We partner with the police department a lot. We perform every year at the police officer memorial service held across the street at New Hope Assembly of God. We perform as part of the Urbandale Police Department National Night Out. And so that partnership is one of the ways that we have been able to use our gifts to give back in a way.
Now, I know you'll want to shy away from this, but let's talk about your gifts for just a moment. And that is the fact that when you hear people say to you that this moment they had in Kansas City and that performance was the best day of their entire high school years, that's got to be some level of a reflection on you. What is the secret sauce that you're kind of using to create that sort of sense of being really special? And I think I'm just going to guess, it's got some mix of the music and...
Yeah, I think I'm lucky that I have experienced a similar sort of feeling. Singing in a choir, being part of that ensemble at Iowa State University, I had one of those moments in Los Angeles at a conference. And so having an experience like that, having many experiences like that in my life, I've been very blessed, drives me forward and helps guide me in what I'm striving for in the interests of my students, if that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
To be so fortunate to have had many great life experiences myself, there's a desire and a responsibility from me to impart those and provide those opportunities, to make them available for my students. And that's probably the biggest driving force. And then to hear that sort of feedback from a student, or frequently sometimes a family member in place of the student, it's very validating, it's very rewarding, and it does help reinforce that the things we've prioritized here in this program, togetherness, family, community, love for one another, these are the things that the music will take care of itself if we cultivate these things together.
That's powerful. Now, one of the things I've learned in doing this podcast is that content and the quality of its execution matters.
Without a doubt.
And so in this particular piece that gave so many people, that and the rest of the performance that
sure.
day, gave so many people a best of their high school experiences, what kind of message were you hoping that the students would get out of this, and to what extent does some sort of message-driven content actually help craft community from your perspective?
Yeah, well, everything that you have just talked about in your question is without a doubt reinforced in my experience as well. Quality content is huge. So if we're zooming out a bit from the Kansas City experience and we talk about the 7-song set that we sang, that 25 minutes, it was actually a theme program where we took 7 very different pieces of music and tried to tell a story through them. The program is called Through Love to Light, which we'll come back to that in a moment. But the progression through the 7 different songs we sang was designed to mimic the experience of going to sleep and the experiences we have while we sleep, and both positive and sometimes not positive. Yes, very much. Yes, we'll come to that in a moment. And then the renewed hope and promise of dawn the next day. And so we opened with a setting of the Lord's Prayer in Latin, the Pater Noster, a very old Renaissance era setting of that, and then progressed through a couple of pieces that set up night as sort of a beautiful, grandiose, all-enveloping landscape. And yes, then at the end of the third tune, things sort of take a nasty turn and set us up for this nightmare of Atzilum's, which talks about a real-life nightmare of human trafficking. And as the set progressed, we continued with a tune by a Slovenian composer, Andrei Makor, O Lux Beata Trinitas, O Light of the Blessed Trinity, which progressed into an arrangement of Dolly Parton's Light of a Clear Blue Morning, and then finishing with Through Love to Light. So
Through Love to Light being the world premiere of Elaine Hagenberg's piece from Des Moines.
Yes, yep. And so telling a story through seemingly disparate pieces of music, and all of which are incredibly high quality. I mean, you have to have quality to as a foundation to everything you do.
Wow. But when you're expecting it of high school students.
It's even more important. Well, I mean, we have to give our kids the highest quality material to work with. If we're expecting greatness of our students, why wouldn't we provide them with great music to sing?
Which speaks to the power of education and educators in terms of making a difference for the students and then for the communities of which they're a part. What can you tell me about the level of support you're seeing for the arts in central Iowa and Iowa and perhaps beyond, and what we could or should be doing to get more, if that's in fact where you would head?
We are incredibly blessed in central Iowa and our state as a whole with the tradition in high-quality music making. There are programs very much like Urbandale all over the state, many right here in the Des Moines area that I have so much respect for and do brilliant work every single day. And Iowa is recognized in particular by choral directors who may go beyond the boundaries of our state and, for example, take a college job somewhere and then longingly reflect back on the quality of choral singing going on in our state. And not just choral, there's great instrumental music making as well. There are without a doubt, I'm no expert, but there are without a doubt these musical and arts deserts in our country, and it it really comes down to the both financial and political support of our lawmakers and our executive people, that recognizing that this is valuable that we are doing, and that when you play the long game with the arts, we are creating more well-rounded, successful, emotionally grounded and able human beings who are able to communicate and connect with each other.
If you were to make one change in support for the arts in the state of Iowa or in this region, what would you say we need to do more of or perhaps less of?
I would really want to look for more equity between school districts. We are incredibly blessed here in Urbandale. We have a very supportive administrative team all the way to the top that believes that the work we do is valuable and makes a difference. I know that there are many districts throughout the state that don't have the resources and the support that we have. And again, I took the helm of a well-established organization with just a culture of parental support, mm-hmm. and community support. And so, you know, without being an expert in this field at all, I would want to see ways where we can sort of level the playing field for every single student in the state, particularly students who maybe and districts that maybe aren't in as financially a secure place. And it shouldn't matter if you're a 4A school or a 1A school, you should be able to have an exceptional musical experience.
And so it's kind of a raising those boats to catch up with some of the privileges
a
that you...
A rising tide raises all ships. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that probably needs to happen at the state level.
So with that, when I come to the choir performance this next spring, what am I going to get to see? What's next on Ted Brimmeier's agenda for all of these wonderful students in their choirs?
I was just talking with a new friend who's a choral director in the area, and he asked me the very same thing. What's next? And what's next is we're going to keep doing what we've always done, and we're going to try to do it as well as we have in the past, if not better. And the amazing thing about the time we're living in is there is the quantity and the quality of the music being created. We're really living in a golden age. There are so many great new composers out there. There are people like Jakub Janczewskis writing things like Absalums that people haven't even discovered yet. And so I joke with the students all the time when some goofy new technology comes out. It's like, what a time to be alive. But it really is. What a time to be alive that we're here in this moment and the stack of scores that I'm looking through to choose what we're going to perform is feet tall because there's so much great stuff out there. So we're just going to keep doing what we do. We're going to take the choirs to Ireland next summer. So we're really excited for that travel opportunity, breaking down barriers, you know, and exposing our students to things beyond the United States. It's going to be a great thing.
Ted, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this opportunity to visit with you and how much I'm looking forward to what you have here happening at Urbandale High School in the near future. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Pat. Thanks.
And with that, I'd like to thank my collaborator, Alex Cooney, and remind everyone to get over to Mainframe Studios for First Fridays and other upcoming events. Thank you.